So yesterday we discussed, you know, he is telling that better indeed is knowledge than formal practice, abhyasa. Better than knowledge is meditation. Better than meditation is the renunciation of the fruit of action. Peace immediately follows renunciation of the fruits of actions. Why is renunciation of the fruits of action better than meditation? We say meditation is better. The idea, there are two types of meditation. Meditation before getting rid of attachments. Then when a person sits for meditation, what do you think he will be thinking?
About his attachments.
That will be what he will be meditating upon. Whereas a person who has no attachment to anything, then his meditation will be only attachment on God. So the thing is, meditation is not a blank state of mind. It is the ability to attach ourselves to a higher truth. And yesterday as we discussed, you see, what is this higher truth? These are abstract words. Truth, reality, Brahman. These are abstract words. It doesn't make as though it is something which doesn't provoke any emotion within us. But if you use the word Ananda, you meditate on Ananda. If you meditate on Ananda, then what will you become? You must be happy. If you are thinking of happy thoughts, but you are not happy, is it possible? Can you be different from your thoughts? So here, an important point we have to remember is, we already know what is real meditation. We have become already experts in meditation. What is meditation? Whichever thoughts we are thinking in our mind, we become that thoughts. That is called meditation. So if you are thinking angry thoughts with somebody, what would you become?
Angry.
Have you not become one with your thought?
Yes.
Always the process is some event. And that event brings in the first reaction in the form of thought. This is not a good event. This is a very unpleasant event, and that provokes negative thoughts. First only, this is an event. What is this? What is this? What is this? It is a negative event. It is an event. It is not even negative. It is an event. This is what has effects. Then very soon the facts are interpreted as either positive way or negative way. That is the second step. Oh, this is not a good situation. No, this is a very good situation. Or this is a happy situation, this is an unhappy situation. That is the second step. The third step would be, I am happy, I am unhappy. See, very quickly these three steps take place. First we start as witness. Very soon we become the participant. So, as soon as that thought, angry thought comes, immediately we become angry. The annoying thought, we become annoyed. So that is meditation. To become one with our thought in every way, get rid of all the difference between the thought and ourselves, that is called meditation. But we are unable to do with higher thoughts. This we do in ordinarily positive thoughts. You see somebody whom you like or love, immediately you are happy. This is such and so and so. This is a person whom I like very much. And I am a very happy person. Immediately you become happy, your face blooms. This is how instinctively we react. Then only problem comes when we have to think about God. So God is of the nature of Ananda. And why is it that we are not getting Ananda? If you are getting bored, on which type of God are you meditating?
Boring God.
Boring God. That is why the God also understood that and incarnated as a... You know, Bengali devotees like God so much in a particular form. For their sake, He incarnated Himself in that particular form. You see, it is true of all South Indians, you know. They like ghee. Ghee comes out of what?
Milk.
So, it created a milky ocean itself. Milky ocean, you know. Every time they need ghee, it is curds. They need. You see, there is one samudra. Dadi samudra.
Mm.
Only thing is, I sometimes try to imagine, how will they swim? Or do they use a slider?
Imagination, Maharaj.
Indian imagination, you know, Kshira Samudra. There is one, what is called Madhya Samudra. For those who are addicted to Madhya, wine Samudra. Sapta Samudra they call, you know.
There is one Samudra of wine?
For each.
Liquor.
For each.
Oh my God.
Yeah. You know, a person who likes to drink, he likes to think, if suppose God comes, what do you think? what is this business of obstruction, you know, bottle, you are for opening, there is a cork opener and all
that. Why don't I have an ocean? Ocean of wine, oh my God.
Yes, doop. Indian, really, I appreciate you. Know, Indian imagination, you know, it soars anything we want. But the fact also is that when you think of God, you can't think of God as finite. So, Ananda Samudra. What is common to all these things? Some person likes milk. Well, what happens when he drinks milk?
Ananda.
So, the idea is Ananda. Ananda Sagare, Ananda in the ocean of bliss. So these are all imageries given for the Ananda, Goloka or Kailasa or Vaikuntha or all these places. Human language representations they have put like that. So Shiva is surrounded by whom?
Ganas.
Ganas means what?
Bhutas.
No, Bhutas, Pritas, Pishachas and all that. And that is called Kailas. It's called Kailas. So, what is the symbolism of this significance of the symbolism? So what is Shiva representative of?
Destruction.
Knowledge. Shiva is always. That is why this, you know, Garalakanta, Neelakanta. So, what is the Neelakanta? He can digest poison. He can convert poison into Amrita.
So all the things, creatures that nobody wants or looked down upon, they have
the idea is, if you have knowledge, there is no Bhuta, Preta or Pishacha. They are all nothing but Shiva, manifestations of Shiva. Yeah. You know, those things, Bhutas, Pretas, Pishachas, they are only Bhutas, Pretas, Pishachas for us.
Yeah.
But if a Bhuta goes there, then immediately they will embrace and they will say, so come, brother, we have missed you for a long time.
welcome
back to your own home. They are happy with each other. A preta doesn't see another preta as a preta. Do you see the feeling? It is just like our seeing each other. So if knowledge is there, how does Shiva look at them? And they are not ordinary pretas. They are all the greatest devotees of Shiva who longed to be with him. They became his attendants. They are doing tapasya. Shiva bhaktas. Nandi is, you know, Shiva bhakta. Garuda is a Vishnu bhakta, like that. They are all greatest Shiva bhaktas. They won't do any harm to him. Their only wish is to serve him. So, what is the symbol? Why does this, Hinduism create this kind of symbolism? To tell us, once there is knowledge, there is no Bhuta, Preta, Pishacha. Everything is Shiva. That's why that Totapuri and Bhairavai. Bhai to Tumbi Brahma ho, Ambi Brahma hai. Bhai to Brahma. This works wonderfully well. Suppose, you know, some Bhuta comes. Nitya, what are you doing? He said, Tumbi Brahma ho, Ambi Brahma. Bhai to, let us both.
Don't try them, Sarvana.
Yeah, this symbolism is really highly significant. These foreigners don't understand. Hindus don't understand, but accept it. And foreigners, Westerners, non-Hindus, they don't understand this. They think, why this horrid imagination, Mother Kali? How many people really understand Mother Kali's significance? Until Thakur came, even Haladhari didn't understand it. It's wonderful, you know, that there was an incident. Haladhari was made Pujari. He didn't like, because his idea of Mother Kali was, she was Tamasika. Yeah. Then, you know, with that idea he was worshipping. He was worshipping, but that was the idea. Mother didn't like it in the least. She appeared one day to him and said, you are worshipping me like this, I will kill your son. And within few days, his son is dead. Then he came and told Thakur, this is what happened. Thakur said, why do you do this? Mother is Trigunatmika. Any god is interpreted depending upon who is interpreting. For Ravanasura, how did Vishnu appear? And Rama, how did he appear? For Hiranyakashipu, how did Narayana appear? So, you know, but this same Ravanasura was the greatest devotee of Shiva. So, where is the reconciliation between these two? Narrow-mindedness. So, the idea is, those who understand, for them, these things are a great joy. Those who do not understand, they are stupid fellows. They pass remarks. That is why Thakur Swami used to say, even the crudest image worship. Who is calling it crudest? The people who do not understand it. A person is bowing down. We are all doing that. You know, even you, supposing you go, you are walking in an Indian street and some village, illiterate village woman, and door is open, huh? Yeah. Come. So you see somebody on the roadside, 2-3 stones are kept. And she is putting this kumkum and turmeric and bowing down. Some people you see worshipping trees, some people worshipping nagas. It is very prevalent. So you think, no, these people are crude. We are, you know, sophisticated devotees. We are Ramakrishna's devotees. We don't do these kind of things. That is a wrong thing. Thakur would never have done that. Because for that person, he is not worshipping a stone or a tree. He is worshipping God, you know, a goddess. But when you enter into a beautiful Shiva temple, what are you worshipping?
Stone. Images made.
And millions of Hindus, what do they worship at home? Stone, Saligram or Shivalinga or this. What is Saligram? It is not, is it a stone? For the worshipper, it is not a stone. It's a divinity itself. In case you have forgotten, Kshadira. He got a dream that there was see Rama appearing and say, for him it is not stone, it is Rama himself. So it is the onlooker's attitude. Everything is God if we have the eyes to see. A table is a God, a chair is God. Him, Swami Vivekananda didn't believe in it. One day Thakur was giving this teaching. and very like a good boy, is seriously he listening. As soon as Narendranath crossed Thakur's room, sat down in the veranda with Hajra. Oh, like that, this mat is God, this cat is God, this rat is God. Thakur then came out with his cloth, wearing cloth under this thing. What are you laughing about? And of course they were truthful. They didn't tell any lie. Narendranath told that just you are teaching, we are making fun of your teaching. You think that, you know, they had so much reverence for their guru. Then Thakur went and casually touched Narendra. Immediately there was such a transformation. He really started seeing. Those few days he was in that mood. Then Swami Vivekananda, he says, I realized the truth in the words of Thakur. My eyes were open. He didn't have full realization, but he started seeing. That was terrible. He came home, sat down for food, and completely absorbed. His mother was telling, what is this? You are not eating food. So much food is in front of you. But where was his mind? You know, even he and Swami Vivekananda had to go. Why did it take 6 years for Thakur to transform Swami Vivekananda? He ridiculed Sri Ramakrishna. Even now he goes to the temple. As though even now he is doing something very horrible. Going to the temple, bowing down to the image. That is why, you know, his Divine Mother, Kali, is dangerous. If anybody ridicules her, then she will make him come to her. You know, he was suffering.
That's a sure easy way to get to her.
Yes, but you can't do it, you know. Half-hearted inside you say
yeah,
that, you know, I believe. Outside I will pretend not to believe. She and she knows. Yeah. So, why did it take such a long time for Narendranath to believe in the teachings of Sri Ramakrishna? Especially with regard to image worship and other things. Yam also had that same argument.
Well, because he was Shaptarshi Nirakar Dhyani, so...
Yeah, but that was not the point. The point was that Swami Vivekananda had to be a universal teacher. Universal teacher means what? For those who believe in the image, he should be able to teach. For those who do not believe in image, for them also he should. Otherwise he would become only one-sided teacher. One-sided teacher cannot be a universal teacher. And that was not his, Thakur's message was not what is it, parochial message. It was a universal message. So it took him a long time to understand. Even an atheist also will obtain liberation, provided he follows the path. What is the difference between an atheist following a path and a believer following the path? Very simple. Suppose from here you want to go to your home. You have eyes. So you see the path and you will reach your home. Suppose a blind person is also following exactly the same path. Will he reach or not? He will also reach. The only thing is, he has to go on asking people. So, okay, which road is this, which road, what is the number of this house, etc. He will take a little longer. Somebody will guide him. But if he is following the path, then he is progressing in the path. So, what is that progress in the path? That's very important for us to understand. What is this travel? So, japa, dhyana, all those things are directions. They are not the progress in the path. They are the taking the directions. Like studying the maps. You do your whole life your japa, but if you don't start the journey, then that japa will not do any good. So, what is the path? There must be transformation in our knowledge. What is that transformation? that this is God. This is, previously I used to think, this is my child, this is my husband, this is my wife, this is my, these are my children. Now, no, they are not your children. They are, what is called, beings out the outer coverings, but inside it is only God. If that transformation doesn't take place, you may talk about Gita or Upanishads for billions of years. Nothing is going to happen. You see, knowledge must transform, and it will, right knowledge will transform. Do you understand what I am talking about?
Yes.
You are doing japa, and you think this is my house, for example. What did your japa do to you? As long as you continue to think this is my house, then your japa hasn't done anything to you. The moment you consider this house also belongs to God, then immediately transformation had to come. You know, supposing your four brothers, two sisters, whatever. Would you say this is my house? What would you say? This is our house. Because you know, they have equal right to that house. The moment you say this is my house, not your house, immediately you are in bondage. So, where do you put a limit and say, is your neighbor, this person, that person, friend, enemy? Where do you put a limit? Friend means what? This is mine. Enemy means what? Not mine. So, as long as this distinction is there, that is what we have been discussing, you know. Shatrav mitre putrav vande makuru yatnam vigraha sandhav. That is the journey. So journey means here not going somewhere. Going somewhere means what? I was in this place, now I am no more at this spot. I am 1 foot ahead. Means you have changed. But if that change doesn't take place, then what good will it do? So that is what he is telling. It should start with, you know, whatever actions you do to the best of your ability, but immediate at the same time, offer them to the Divine Lord. So what is the meaning of offering them to the Divine Lord?
Offering the fruits of...
That is what he is... Adveshta sarva bhutanam maitra karuna evacha nirmamo nirahankaraha samadukha sukha kshami. These qualities, when they develop in us, that is called transformation. This is called the journey. So what was Adveshta? Adveshta means what?
Loving.
No hatred towards anyone. So what is the journey here? Previously what was I?
Dveshi.
I am the Dveshi. Now I have become Adveshi. If I have not become that, even to a small extent, or at least the awareness, from now onwards, I should not hate anybody. That is how it starts. Without a goal, I am not going to become that. First we must fix the goal. So I should not hate anybody, I should love everybody. Difficult, that's why spiritual life is so difficult. It's so nice, easy to sit nicely, cosily. And especially, you know, supposing we are holding this glass in a solitary spot because we thought that nobody would disturb us. And after the class is over, we have to travel 3 hours for our lunch. How long will you tolerate my going on and on with this? Where will your mind be?
Lunch.
See, now next, you know, there's not even one wall difference.
That's true.
So as soon as this is over, any time, we have access to this good food. See how human mind works. I'm only trying to explain how mind works. Supposing Vasu says, Swamiji, after your class is over, I will ask you and start cooking.
Oh.
When do you think I will finish the class?
You said start now.
You know, we have a time. I'm not going to stay here, you know. I will stop my class at 12:30. Then she will ask me what I like.
And then she starts.
It happened. Funny thing happened, you know. I'll tell you. I won't tell you the names. One of our Swamis had come. And there were seemingly devotees. His devotees, not my, fortunately,
oh,
not
devotee.
My devotees. So, they invited him for lunch to his house, Swamiji, Padaduli, you know, Bengalis. Padaduli din.
Oh, Bengali?
Yeah,
Achha.
Padaduli din. Probably that's the only thing they wanted. Nothing else. So, poor man, he went and he could eat really well. He went there. They took him in his car, and then Swamiji, he wandered throughout India before he joined the mission. No, he joined the mission, after 6 months left, went around the whole of India on foot. Wonderful experiences here. Very good storyteller. So Swamiji, please tell your experiences. It was almost 1 o'clock. He was telling me later on. Then he said, Swamiji, it's getting late. What shall I cook for them? Now, you know, a Swami is supposed to be, you know, Samachitta and all that. He was scared. He can't express his annoyance or anger. Really? Then she started cooking. It took 1.5 hours to 2 hours. The result was, after that, the moment I mentioned his name, the devotee's name, Swami's face became like that. He came after that, he had his some lunch and came back so late. What I am telling is, that was not a proper behavior, but what I am telling is how these events influence our reaction. Yeah, anybody, you know, it's a devotees. This is Swamiji, let us finish. We have still 2 hours to go back and all that. They will be very impatient. We are able to sit here so calm, quietly, enjoy all these things because the moment this is over, it's waiting. Not only that. You know, suppose you had nice idli sambar breakfast, like anything was left over yesterday?
Idli
gave it off to Muttu.
Achha.
He's a bachelor Maharaj, so.
See, but how many benefits bachelors have? All, everybody will become a mother. Anyway, so they have nice idli sambar, stomach is heavy. And the class started at 10 o'clock. They came at 10 o'clock. And then Swami says, 1 hour is... No, Swami, a little more time. Class is very interesting. Why do you think...
They are pendulizing
that has to be adjusted.
You know how our unconscious mind controls us, our behavior. All these things, every day of our life, we are acting and reacting in a particular way. We attribute why we are behaving to the present situation. But no, our previous condition determines all these things. So we have to, unless we are aware of these things, how do we know how to control? First diagnosis, then only comes the treatment. Yeah, some people, you know, they are very short-tempered people. Some people seem to be very calm and quiet, but it doesn't mean some people go on accumulating it. And one day suddenly they burst. Yeah. Swami Vivekananda used to say, you know, it's lean and thin people, they burst. Their capacity to toleration is roly-poly. It takes longer time for them You know, they have more capacity. But lean and thin persons, anger, lust is too much in them, like that he says. Anyway, Adveshta Sarva Bhutanam, should not hate anyone, any creature. Why? Because if your goal is God realization, then you can't hate anybody because God is
everything.
So the change, slowly, it takes time, but at least we should be aware. Maitraha, that is friendliness. Friendliness towards what? Can you be friendly to every creature? Can you be friendly with a tiger?
No.
What it means is, if you find anybody similar to your nature, then be friendly because you help each other. Karuna. Karuna means compassion. Compassion towards whom?
To the lesser advantage.
Those who are less fortunate, we must have compassion. Suppose somebody is not a devotee, we should not hate them, but we should have compassion. That is what the Vaishnava says, you know. Jiva, daya. Jiva means who?
Any living being.
No. You see, name ruchi, Vaishnava seva, and jiva daya. Name ruchi means a devotee has great taste for God name. And Vaishnava, who is a Vaishnava? Fellow devotees. That means he understands these devotees are my companions. There is no question of compassion for them because they already are doing what he thinks every human being should do. But there are many who do not do it. So towards them, why are they not doing? That is because his idea, devotee's idea is, unless the Lord bestows his grace upon them, these poor people have no way of turning towards him. Prabhu naam japa karao is a song, beautiful song. You make me pratipadam ala apinam kuru maam mukunda. Yes, you heard it. Mukunda mala stotra. You make me remember your name at every step. Because I have no capacity to remember you. Why? Remembrance belongs to whom? Matta smriti jnanam apohanancha. So from whom this smriti comes?
And then he also makes us
Ashto moha smritir labdha. Who did he get? Tvat prasadan mayachyuta. It's only God's grace. In the 15th chapter he says, smritir jnanam apohanancha. Smriti means remembrance. Jnana means knowledge.
Smriti
rupena samstita. Apohana means forgetfulness. So, this is smriti and apohana. Smriti means remembrance. Apohana means forgetfulness. Both are divine qualities. See, how can forgetfulness is divine quality? How can remembrance be divine quality? Is it a divine quality? It is a divine. Divine quality means quality that belongs to God. So unless His grace is there, we can't have those qualities. That is why yesterday I mentioned, you know, love is the ultimate thing. But that love manifests in the form of is quality. If you love somebody, if you like also is a lesser degree of love. So the moment you like something, then you love it. Like it. Then there is, you get joy. That joy is the ultimate result. But the moment you love something, your behavior will change. Is it not? You behave in a positive way, trying to help or whatever.
Yes.
Make it better thing and all those things automatically will follow. So, smriti also is quality from God. In fact, every quality, rajas, tamas, tamas, to whom they belong? To the mother. So, how is tamas divine quality? Because if you don't get good sleep, you understand. Whether it is good quality or bad quality. If you don't have good digestion, then you understand whether it is good quality or bad quality. So,
digestion is a Thomas.
I am just mentioning that everything we have is coming from God, God manifesting in this form. So suppose God is not gracious to you, then what will you have? Indigestion. Why is it? Because the God says, Lord says, Krishna says, Aham Vaishvanaro Bhutva Praninam Deham Ashritaha Pranapana Samayuktaha Pachamyannam Chaturvidham. I digest all sorts of food sitting in the bodies of beings in the form of digestive fire, means jataragni, digestive juices. So if somebody has less jataragni, then that means less amount of God. God. What is the result? What is the result of that? Indigestion means what? Suffering. Indigestion means suffering. Suppose somebody has over digestive power.
That is also suffering.
That is also suffering, especially for others. So, Smriti is a gift of God. But why is it a gift of God? It can be also a curse of God. And that is what we suffer from. So what is the Smriti? Smriti means remembrance. What is the remembrance we are suffering from? Arjuna had not lost his Smriti, but he has negative Smriti. I am a human being. I am the son of so and so. I am the nephew, this brother of so and so. How can I kill these fellows? Then he remembered. His real Smriti came. I am divine. I am not a human being. So if I am not a human being, if I am divine, if everybody else is also divine, then where is death, where is birth? That is why Ashochyana no Sochastam Prajna. That was the very first teaching of Krishna to Arjuna. The moment he opened his mouth, Ashoch, you are grieving for those for whom you should not grieve. You know, it is like you are witnessing a drama. And your uncle, unfortunately, is following a scene where he should be shot dead. So, the scene followed. Immediately, somebody discharged the gun and he fell down dead. Immediately, you started weeping from the audience. My uncle is dead. What do you think others do to you? Why are you doing? Your Smriti is misbehaving. You forgot this is a drama. You are thinking this is reality. That's what the Lord is telling. This is a drama. But you don't know it is a drama. You mistook it for reality. That's why you are weeping. You should neither weep for the living, you should neither weep for the dead, because life and death are parts of the drama. In the reality is eternal existence. In eternal existence, what is birth and what is death? It is absolutely ridiculous. So that Smriti caused all sorts of bondage. I am going to kill them and I am going to be the cause of their sin. When in drama, if somebody kills somebody, is he going to get a sin? So, by the grace of God, he gets the real Smriti. Immediately he says, there is neither death for me, nor death for this Bhishma, Drona and all those people. And that, as soon as that Smriti came, immediately he said, I will do what I have to do, because this drama has to be, or in drama, supposing you are also an actor in the drama. Your role is to shoot your uncle dead. In the drama. You agreed to participate in the drama. Up till then you are behaving wonderfully well. The moment that scene comes, you forgot it is a drama. That depends again, of course, on the uncle's stature in life. Suppose he's a very rich uncle. Yeah. So you might immediately, even before this scene comes, you might like to. Anyway, the point is, Smriti what I was remembering, I was seeing this Tom and Jerry. So at one point, you know, the day before yesterday, he tried him. He was putting pepper. Jerry was bound.
Oh.
And Tom was the Tom was covered with all, you know, like steam. What do we call this? Sneezing.
Sneezing.
This sneezing was so powerful. All the bonds of the Jerry. And then the steam also cleared. Then the Tom was looking. So nice.
Idea. Fabulous idea.
Brilliant. This is so marvelous production. Anyway, Smriti can work both for good and for bad. And in our case, mostly it is working in a negative way. See, somebody does some harsh words, insult, we will never forget in life. How much time do you remember God? But these incidents, you will never forget it. For whole life they influence us. So you see, that is where it is a curse. Whereas in spiritual journey, okay, this is all God's will. And remember God and forget these things. That is why one type of smriti is God's grace, another type of smriti is avidya maya. Same thing with forgetfulness.
I was going to ask you that.
Exactly.
The same thing.
You should forget, you should be able to forget negative things in life.
Yes.
In fact, that is what all the modern psychologists are advising. The person who is unhappy, he again and again remembers all the unhappy incidents. But is it that any human life, are there no happy incidents? That's why this day you note down. When you are really happy, even for a minute or half a minute, and you try to remember those incidents. Slowly, your mind focuses on positive things. That is spiritual journey. So, that is why upon certain things, negative things which are holding you back, you should forget. Ultimately, you should forget, this is my uncle, this is my parents, this is my children, this is my house, you should forget. What should you remember? So, smriti and apohana are not two different qualities in a way. They are using of one faculty in a proper way. Certain things you remember, certain things you do not remember. In that way, it is the same godly qualities
yes.
from God. Some work as avidya maya, some work as vidya maya.
For both the cases.
Yeah. So we should reverse this situation. That is what he is telling. Advaishta sarva bhutanam maitraha. Karuna means what? Compassion. Why? Because they are poor people, less for privileged people. If you don't have karuna, then you can never be spiritual. So in Patanjali Yoga Sutra, they mention four things. Maitri, karuna, mudita, upeksha. Maitri for those who are traveling the same path, companions, same-minded people. Karuna for the people who are less fortunate. They are not harmful people, but they are less fortunate, suffering people. In this instance, they are not yogis. They are worldly people. Karuna. then mudita means happiness. When you see a saint, when you see a saint, try to be very happy. When you see another person progressing in spiritual life, when you see another person getting promotions, getting better job, better money, better thing, be happy. Why? Because we believe if these things are not happening, not because he is in competition against you or you are less intelligent. They are happening because he must have done some good karma too. So where is the need for jealousy? If you want those things, you also do good karma. Inevitably you will also do. There is no need to be competitive or being jealous. That is not going to achieve you anything. Unless you are fated, nothing will happen. This is a theory which needs to be thought over deeply and then accepted. Otherwise, we compete and say, I will outdo. I can only shine if I can compete with that fellow. This is the American theory. If you can't push back others, you will be pushed back. You know, Hindu theory is totally different. If you have not produced the causes by leading dharmic life, any amount of pushing others will only create negative karma, not positive karma. If you are fated, even in deathbed also, things will change suddenly. This is our faith. Yeah. And it is true whether you believe it or not. Otherwise, you know, some people win lottery ticket, as I mentioned one incident. You know that, Prema? In America it happened some 5-6 years back. Some people were, you know, traveling in a car and they stopped at a place to get some gas. And the fellow had paid $100 bill and the shopkeeper didn't have the change. He was selling lottery tickets. So since there was no change, so he said, this fellow said, you give me for the rest of whatever money you have to give me back, in the form of lottery tickets. And he won several millions of dollars. So is it a fluke? We all think, if only we had been in his place. You know, if you had been in his place, you know what would have happened? No. He would have had change. He would have given all the change he had to you. And immediately behind you, he came to pay. I'm so sorry, all the change I had given to you. Then he would have taken those lottery tickets. You know, this is called adrishta.
But what is, if we are meant for, then only it will happen.
That's what I'm telling. If we deserve it, then it will come. Good or bad, it is only, that is why Adyad Bhavyam Bhavatu Bhagavan Purva Karma Anusaram Mukundamala Stotra, that whatever happened to me according to the result of my past karma, but let my mind be ever fixed on thy lotus feet. This is so beautiful. Mukundamala, so beautiful. Wonderful stotra. Anyway.
What if somebody relies on God, then what is the need to buy lottery ticket?
You see, what we should always understand is, God always works through His person. He always, you know, works through this world. So what is the need you are telling of this world? How do you think He works?
The world.
In the form of the world, you know, you are hungry, you don't have money, you don't have food, you are to rely upon God. But he starts cooking and then serving you?
No. Somebody else will
feed. Yes, somebody is sleeping, he will push him and say, my devotee is starving, go and immediately.
Sending that boat and helicopter and all that.
No, you see, ulta, everything, most of the things are ulta. We are referring to Swami Vivekananda sitting on the tree
right.
and asking for hot khichdi. But this is an example for you know how God works through nature. You know that story, I remember?
Which one, sir?
In Italy, there was a village and there was a priest. And one day there was terrible flood. So the whole village was getting inundated.
Mm.
So this fellow, everybody, military was evacuating everybody. Yeah. But he said, no, I have faith in God.
I remember this one.
So that is how God works. That is what Thakur said, Mother, who will take care of me? Madhur Babu, Prasad Das will take care of you.
Yeah.
So it's God's grace only.
Right.
But it comes in through his Prakriti Niyamas. The Prakriti changes. You know, I'm going to Myrtle Beach. There was a big storm coming, Ike. So I said to God, you know, you want me to hike to Myrtle Beach? No, you are sending Ike. Immediately he said, all right, I am diverting it to Houston. Yes, I am not going to Houston, you can divert it.
Oh, I thought you would have changed your mind and said, okay, I'll be in Cedar Rapids.
So now the thing is, God or Divine Mother always works through His nature because we are part of the nature. So He works, He tells His nature to make things, proper things. Yeah. We should never forget about it.
Swamiji?
Yeah.
But when there is earthquake or like tsunami, something like that, that is because God wants these people to be gone, dead?
Yes. If you have to believe in the law of karma and if you have to believe in the existence of God, you have no option. You can't say God is sleeping, meanwhile nature had taken advantage of him. What is nature?
God.
It is God only. So we don't know the mysteries of these people, you know. They may be, they are all fated to die. So instead of dying here and there, so he says, okay, this will happen. You know, at that time, I was also a bit curious. You know, every day how many people die. Then somebody sent me the, you know, World Facts of books, some research internet. Said approximately 175,000 people die every day.
Wow.
Yeah. So, you see, if they die in their beds, old age, some accident and like that, nobody takes notice of it.
Mm-hmm.
When this kind of, you know, collectively if they die, then they take notice. We take notice. So how do we know it is these people, you know, this we quarrel unnecessarily.
Mm.
People who don't believe in nature, they call it is nature who is responsible for this. If he is a devotee, then he will say it is God's will that has taken place. In either case, why did nature do this? The only advantage is, if you say God, then they will question God. How can they question God? You say that you don't even believe in God. How can you question in a non-existing God? You know, this stupidity goes on. Nature. What can you do about nature? Are you going to question? You believe nature has no consciousness, is something which just works by hook or crook. It's whims, at it whims. But what will you do if such things happen, earthquakes or this or that, something happens, what will you do? You have nothing to, you shut your mouth, that's all. If the moment somebody mentions God, then you open your mouth. You know, peculiar thing. So what do we know about God's will? How do you know it is not a good event?
Mm-hmm.
Okay, these are what is called natural disasters. What about man-made disasters? What, the Second World War was created by what? Tsunami. Purely by human beings. Mm-hmm. Who created this Iraq war?
Yeah. But Maharaj, even then, it is the God's will, right? Actually,
what I am trying to say is, that when it is our will, then we can't question God. Say, I go and rob somebody's house. Then do I question God? Why did I go and rob This is what human stupidity. For those who believe in God, we know there is a universal intelligence in which there is no place for injustice. So this appears for us as injustice.
So even the man-made kinds of calamities like wars and all, is it to justify the actions which they have done in their poor, births?
No, there is no justification. No, nothing can be justified.
Or justified means, or at least, are they getting their karma phalas or something?
Yes, everything. Ultimately, the wars or natural disasters or man-made disasters is all entirely due to God's will only. So again, the same problem of misunderstanding the scriptures come here. What is the misunderstanding? If it is God's will all these things happen, can anything really evil happen by the will of God? You see, there is a very subtle way of looking. I am looking at some event as evil, another event as good. I am making a distinction. This is good and this is evil. Good is good, but evil is very evil. It should not have happened. That is what I am thinking. But if I say I believe in God, do you think God is the author of, can be author of any evil? So if I cannot understand an event, that this is an event which we label as evil, this must be my misunderstanding. There must be some, just to give an example, because it is very difficult to talk about these things logically. Suppose there is a surgery and there is a window. Anybody passerby can come and stand in front of the window and watch what is going on. So there is a patient whose stomach needs to be cut and or leg needs to be cut and thrown out or whatever it is. The relative who admitted this patient is also watching. And a passerby comes and then starts watching. He doesn't know anything of the circumstances, he doesn't know what is surgery. All that he sees is somebody is taking a saw and cutting off somebody's. What would be his judgment?
He's killing.
That somebody is doing a great evil. Is it not? But the relative who brought, even it may be a mother, who brought her child for his leg to be cut off, because if the leg is not cut off, the child will die. Tell me, which mother will not agree to this? If it is a choice between life and taking off a leg, what would be her choice? See the point. So, without the relative understands, this is actually, this person is God. He is saving my son. But the passerby who doesn't know anything about this is assuming, what would be his judgment? It's the most evil act. Somebody is simply cutting off somebody's leg and then throwing it off. So we are like that passersby who have no knowledge of what went on before, what is going to come later on. We only judge the events and say this is evil, this is natural. How can there be an evil in the kingdom of God? But to understand this mystery, we must ourselves rise beyond good and evil. Otherwise, from our limited standpoint, it is impossible, however much faith you have in God, to understand this. This problem had come to Swami Vivekananda also. Why my family, which never did anything wrong, had to undergo this terrible suffering? And people who are supposed to be, wicked, they are prospering. It troubled Swami Vivekananda's mind. Then one day he was deeply thinking about it. He was starving. He didn't have even sufficient food. He fell down unconscious. Then he had a vision. Then he understood. Then he did not say what that vision was. But the result of that vision was, he said, there is no injustice in gods. Even if somebody were to cut his throat, he will not say it is an injustice. He will say this is the most wonderful act, God's will. For us, we haven't reached that state. If we know what was our past, if we know what is our future, then we will not come to this kind of judgments. So why these, first of all, disasters take place, we don't know. Secondly, if you don't believe in God, there is nothing you can do about it. You see, they are predicting an earthquake in California. A huge earthquake is going to happen. It is not a question of whether or not. It is a question of when. What can any scientist do? They have not found out any way to prevent an earthquake. And so many storms are coming. They are only pray that they harmlessly pass by. Is there anything they could do, this most advanced country in the world? 2 years back, Katrina. Mm-hmm. What could they do? Even what they could do also, they did not do. There was a lot of criticism, you know. The help came after so many people had died. That is purely human. They could have done it, whatever be the reason, it happened. Anyway, the thing is that we have to accept certain things whether we like it or not. If there is nobody to be questioned, we say it is natural. If there is somebody to be questioned, then we question that person. Thus you question God. Yes, you have every right to question God. Unfortunately, He doesn't like to be questioned or answered. Then you have to produce your own answer. This is the truth. So, Maitra, Karuna, Mudita, Upeksha. There is another word used, Upeksha, not here. Towards enemies, says, not anger, not Karuna, but Upeksha means indifference, because there is nothing else you do. These are the four attitudes, Maitri, Karuna, Mudita, Upeksha. So, Karuna Yavacha. Then Nirmamaha, not mine, but thine. Nirahankaraha, not me, but thou. Sukha, Dukha, Sukha, Kshami. Sama, Sama, Dukha, Sukha means keep your mind equanimous. He's not telling, don't experience Sukha. You see, that is the most misunderstanding way of reading scriptures. He never said that when somebody is giving you a sweet, you should not enjoy. He is not telling when they pin pricks, you should not cry out. Telling is these things will happen, whether you like it or not. But try to keep your mind calm and quiet in both. But when Sukha comes, you jump up. But when Dukha comes, what will you do? Jump down. You know, when you jump up, Sukha. When Dukha comes, means what? You will fall down. So when Sukha comes, don't jump. Then when Dukha comes, you will not fall. That is
when you reach that state.
No. When you reach means what? Suddenly you go to sleep and one day, next morning you get up. You are there on the ceiling and he is there on the That won't happen. Little by little. We have to practice that kind of equanimity. Otherwise, it's not going to come. Kshami. Some people, some creatures, some evil event will happen. If you don't practice kshama, then who will suffer? You will suffer. You know, this happened in India. Somebody killed somebody. That July bombing, 3 years back. One young man was killed. So, one of those, the mothers of that young man is a black woman. She was asked by the reporter, what is your feeling towards these bombers? And she said, I forgive them. Because this is what we have been taught by my church. Christ forgave his enemies, so we also should forgive our enemies. So, I forgive, I pray to God, let good understanding come to that person. But personally, I feel grief, but I forgive, freely forgive that person. What a noble statement by an ordinary housewife who lost her son. Even it is very difficult even for highly developed spiritual people to do that. But that should be our ideal. If God doesn't forgive us, then what would be our condition? How much we are doing against God's will? What is the time now? Okay. We will finish this 14th. Santushta satatam yogi yatatma dridha nischaya mayyarpita mano buddhi yo madbhakta same priya santushta content. Satatam. How much time? Otherwise, you know, from breakfast time until lunch time, you are santushta. After that, asantushta. That won't work. All the time. Yogi means one who has become a spiritual aspirant. Yatatma, constantly striving to attain to these qualities. Dridhanischaya, with strong determination. Mai arpita mano buddhi. Already we discussed it. What is the difference between manas and buddhi? Mai arpita. Completely connecting the mind and the intellect to me only. Yo madbhakta. One who behaves in this way, strives in this way. Sabhakta me priyaha. That devotee is dear to me. What a wonderful this thing. Otherwise, a bhakta who doesn't develop these qualities, he is not dear to God. If he is not dear to God, then he is no bhakta. This is the truth. So what is the bhakta business? Yeah, you have to think, you know, same points we are discussing again and again in depth. If you are devoted to football, some football star, then you try to imitate what moves he made, how he could, you know, put this ball in the goal and all those things. If you don't do this, you are not really a bhakta. So, bhakta means devotee of whom? God. So, how does God behave? How do you think God behaves? So, if he never forgets what you have done, wrong thing, and doesn't remember what good you have done, then will he be a God? He only remembers what good you have done, never remembers what bad things we have done. A mother never remembers what bad things a baby has done, and always remembers what sweet things the baby said or embraced, hugged, kissed, and all those things. Yes, you know what bad things? You know, I will put it in graphical. If somebody comes and kicks you in the stomach, will you ever forgive that person? But suppose, you know, a baby, even while suckling the mother, what do you think it is? The more joyously he is suckling, the more kicks the mother gets. Is it not true?
Yes.
Fortunately, you know, it is a baby. It doesn't hurt, you know, that much. But the mother's joy,
joy. Our mother said that in the morning she gets rudely waken up by double kick. She has twins and they sleep on crosswise, and in the morning they wake up, they're very happy. With happy gurgle they start kicking.
Yeah.
So it's straight.
Anyway, the thing is, mother knows. These are babies. They are not kicking really. That is the only thing they can do. And it is their expression of joy. It doesn't, not only it doesn't hurt mother, she wants.
Yeah.
So what do you think God, if you abuse God, what do you think? He see it because from the eyes of in the eyes of God, who are we? We are like babies. This is the truth. So a devotee who wants to become God, he must also acquire these same qualities. If you touch a highly charged electric wire, then what would you become?
Electricity.
And if anybody touches you, we must become like God. Then only it is the test of a real devotee. That is why Same Priyaha means what? That he is coming nearer to me. This is the idea. Om Vasudeva Sutamandevam Kamsa Janore Margam Devadevi Paramanandam Krishnam Vande Jagat Guru.